Fasten your chin strap and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
Three of the EA Show coming at you live from the Budweiser Studios of Cumulus Broadcasting. We're brought to you by Mortgage Investors Group. We'll have some fun stuff coming at you from Mortgage Investors Group a little later on this week. But ultimately, they can help you out, get pre-qualified. They're the number one residential home loan lender in the entire volunteer state. No matter where you're listening to us today, streaming us live in Johnson City, podcasting us in Chattanooga, streaming in Nashville, West Tennessee, doesn't matter, MIGOnline.com to help you with all your residential home loan needs.
All right, it was a big weekend in college hoops. It means it's time for the College Hoops Report. Joel Silverberg fires that at us right now. Joel, Blue Water Climate Control makes it possible.
Yeah, they do, and really appreciate all the help with sponsoring our college basketball report each and every Monday. So Tennessee falling to South Carolina 63-61. It's a career high for John Fulkerson. 25 points, 9 rebounds. Great game for him. Really shouldered a lot of the responsibility for the loss. He felt like his 6 turnovers and a couple of missed free throws really hurt Tennessee down the stretch, and they did. But at the same time, I would say you're not competing in that game if it's not for John Fulkerson. But credit to him for wanting to take on the leadership and the responsibility in a game that he played really, really well in to help Tennessee stay in it. The rest of the SEC was pretty wild. Auburn falling to Missouri on the road and losing by 12 to Konzo Martin's team. Auburn shot 46 free throws in that game and missed 16 of them. Auburn shot 17 three-pointers in that game and missed 16 of them. So the Tigers go 1-for-17 from behind the arc. They go 30-of-46 from the free throw line, and all those missed opportunities come back to bite them as they lose to Missouri. And obviously with Auburn losing, that opened up the door for LSU and Kentucky, and LSU also fell over the weekend, losing on the road to Alabama. I think it's too little too late for Alabama when we're talking about the tournament. It's a team that's already got double-digit losses, went on a bit of a skid last week when they lost to Tennessee as well. So Alabama shooting a lot of three-pointers, that's what it does a lot of, and it upset LSU in Tuscaloosa. So LSU and Auburn losing. Kentucky and Ole Miss, the end of this game, my goodness, Ole Miss leading in the second half, Kentucky rallies, they're going back and forth, trading buckets, Ole Miss has the ball down by one, can hold for the last shot, Devontae Shuler elects to pull up for a contested three with 10 seconds still remaining on the clock, and he airballs the three-point shot. So Ole Miss loses a big opportunity to potentially steal a win at Rupp Arena. So Kentucky, in another chaotic finish, is now alone atop the SEC standings. And then Mississippi State's Abdul Adu tipped in a missed floater by Tyson Carter with less than a second remaining. Mississippi State beats Arkansas, so Arkansas continues to be in total freefall mode. If the Razorbacks lose to Florida tomorrow, I think their tournament hopes are over. Arkansas looked like a really good team at one point. They lost Isaiah Joe. Teams are taking advantage of their lack of size inside. They're not a good rebounding team, and now they're 4-8 in the SEC. And speaking of Florida, Florida beat Vanderbilt over the weekend. They unveiled Billy Donovan court, so now Billy Donovan's name is on the court over in Gainesville. And I don't understand how Georgia is this bad. The Bulldogs lost to Texas A&M over the weekend. They blew a double-digit lead. You have Anthony Edwards on that roster. Rayshon Hammonds is a 4-star recruit. Sevier Wheeler is a 4-star recruit. Tamani Kamara is a 4-star recruit. You had Nicholas Claxton last year, who's now in the NBA. Tom Crean has 4 SEC wins through 30 SEC games in nearly 2 full seasons.
One of them against Tennessee.
Not great.
One of them against Tennessee, but with the talent that they have had, it's and the talent has been there. The talent has been available. It's not like Vanderbilt, where Darius Garland and Aaron Nesmith have been unavailable because of injuries. Tom Crean has 3 more SEC wins than Vanderbilt in the last 2 seasons, despite having a ton of 4- and 5-star recruits down there in Athens. So next season's going to be make it or break it for Tom Crean, I think, because there's no reason that he should be 4-26 in SEC play. Looking around the rest of the country, I don't know what's going on with Louisville, but back-to-back losses to Wake Forest and Clemson, 2 unranked teams. Louisville at one point looked like one of the best teams in the nation. Now they've fallen to 21-5 after the back-to-back losses. Kansas took care of business. Gonzaga took care of business. Baylor a really nice win over West Virginia over the weekend. West Virginia, it's unfortunate because you have to play Kansas and Baylor back-to-back games in the same week. They dropped both of those games, so West Virginia takes a bit of a hit there. Dayton took care of business. Duke rolled over Notre Dame. Florida State had to survive a really good run from Syracuse there in the second half, so the Seminoles stay at 21-4 as a top-10 team. The big blockbuster of the night in the Big Ten, Maryland goes on the road, beats Michigan State. Again, it's been a disappointing season for the Spartans, and we'll have to see how they can bounce back. They're going to be a tournament team just because of all the quadrant one opportunities and wins that they've had so far. But with Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman and Aaron Henry, all those guys, just hasn't been the season that Tom Izzo was really hoping for. Seton Hall fell to Providence over the weekend, so Providence gets another surprise Big East win. Seton Hall still going to be in good position to probably grab a 3 seed in the tournament when that time comes around, but just not a good look right now for what the Pirates have done in the past week. Georgetown upsets Butler, so another Big East upset happening versus a ranked team. And Illinois, kind of a note here, they lost Io Desunmu to a serious knee injury at the end of the Michigan State game earlier this week. Then they lost to Rutgers on the road over the weekend. So Illinois, ranked 22nd in the country going into the weekend, probably going to fall out of the top 25 after having lost 4 straight. Desunmu, fortunately, did not suffer any structural damage when he hurt his knee earlier in the week, but did not play against Rutgers, is still listed as being day-to-day. And then one final upset over in the Big 12. Number 24, Texas Tech, the national runner-up, falling to the Big 12 bottom dweller, Oklahoma State, 73-70. So not great. And then on Sunday, San Diego State remained unbeaten with a win over Boise State. So you have the Aztecs that are still the only undefeated team remaining in college basketball at 26-0. Updated net rankings coming into Monday. San Diego State number 1, Baylor number 2, Gonzaga number 3, Kansas number 4, Dayton number 5, Tennessee now sitting down at 62 after the loss to South Carolina, which South Carolina might need to be in the discussion for being a potential bubble team, with Mississippi State not playing its best basketball, Arkansas going in the wrong direction, and South Carolina now sitting in a top 4 spot there in the SEC standings, could have a double bye by the time March comes around the SEC tournament. And that is our college basketball report brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control.
BlueWaterClimateControl.com. Appreciate Joel doing that for us, getting us up to date on everything we missed in the college basketball world. BlueWaterClimateControl.com. Again, if you need a new unit, service or maintenance, veteran owned, locally owned, and they are awesome. You'll have a great experience. So many people have. Again, appreciate all the listeners that have been doing business with Blue Water Climate Control. Call them 299-2290.
Speaking of college hoops, Memphis this weekend lost 64-61 to a terrible Connecticut team.
Not good.
They are 17-8 overall, 6-6 in the AAC. They are likely out of the NCAA tournament at this point.
They were on the outside looking in going into the weekend, according to ESPN's Joe Lenardi. I can't imagine that they'll be sniffing the bubble this week.
That did not help. Penny Hardaway, quote, "We got to win out." And then he said, "Well, I wouldn't say win out. We got to win some big games. I wouldn't put that much pressure on the young guys, but we have to win some impressionable games." His comments very different than this fall when he told The Athletic, quote, "We're going to win a national championship."
And it really did look like it for a short period of time.
They've lost James Wiseman, obviously. DJ Jeffries is out with a knee injury. He will likely not be back in the regular season. But to fall all the way off to this point is one of those you hate to see it kinds of things. We'll see. But Penny not going to the NCAA tournament likely after that issue this weekend. When we come back, 656-9900, Miles Garrett has doubled down on Mason Rudolph. And the XFL may have an on-field idea that does need to carry over to the rest of football. That's next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the EA Show on the Sports Animal. Brian Rice, myself, Eric Ainge, here on the Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice. Got real creative with that, didn't we?
That's right. Miles Garrett got real creative with trying to justify what he did to Mason Rudolph. He doubled down on the Mason Rudolph used racial slur before Garrett removed his helmet and hit him with it.
Now, remember, Rudolph's teammates were right there.
And none of them said that they heard him say it. There's no recorded audio evidence to debunk it, but the league checked into it because Miles Garrett said that the league should have separately investigated the situation. Well, they did. Quote, "We've checked with the officiating crew, including the ref who was on top of the play and the ensuing aftermath." By the way, they're all mic'd up.
Yeah.
"No player on either team came forward to say they heard him say it on the field. There was also no indication of any players saying they heard him say it in their post-game comments." Of course, Garrett said he heard it. Rudolph denied saying it. The league has skilled investigators that know how to ask the questions.
It just didn't happen.
It's not for sure, but it's likely that they met with both Garrett and Rudolph in an effort to resolve which man is telling the more believable story. That will happen if Rudolph sues Garrett, as he says he will.
If he doesn't drop it.
Because Garrett could have just let this go.
He missed, the last six games of the year last year? He was reinstated officially. He always was going to be. The Browns made their statements publicly. We welcome him back with open arms.
Yes.
He's playing like a number one draft pick at defensive end. He's incredible. The hitting him in the head with the helmet thing, even that, he could come back from. Doubling down on the racial comment that didn't happen is weird.
Rudolph's agents and his lawyer, Timothy Younger, published a statement on Twitter that makes clear that there is a strong possibility Rudolph will sue Garrett for defamation of character based on the allegation that Rudolph used a racial slur. Quote, "Mr. Garrett maliciously uses this false allegation to coax sympathy, hoping to be excused for what clearly is inexcusable behavior. Despite other players and the referee being in the immediate vicinity, there are zero corroborating witnesses, as confirmed by the NFL. Although Mr. Rudolph had hoped to move forward, it is Mr. Garrett who has decided to utter this defamatory statement. In California, he's now exposed to legal liability," unquote. The reference to California isn't accidental. Civil courts in California are typically more favorable to the rights of those who make claims for defamation.
I don't want him to get sued. I don't want
this to be the topic. It would be best for the NFL for the whole thing to go away.
How did Myles Garrett not get that already? That's what I don't understand. I mean, that's why I say this whole thing is weird, because
I don't know.
No one in 2020, no one takes racial slurs or comments lightly.
No.
It's never been okay, but it really actually isn't okay now. You know what I mean?
You don't just get to say, ha ha, didn't mean it.
Yeah, haha, oops, didn't mean to. No, you can't, especially if it's during competition, when things are heated and you're heated. If that's what you're all about, then that's what ends up coming out. But that's not what Mason Rudolph's about, and that's not what he said. You really think a Pouncey brother is gonna go after Myles Garrett if they hear their white boy quarterback drop a racial slur?
No.
Come on, man. Come on.
No. Oh, you think Mike Tomlin of all people is going to defend a guy who makes racial slurs? Mike Tomlin doubled down on Mason Rudolph and said, knowing his character, I wouldn't have believed it, but we looked into it to be sure, and it didn't happen.
Exactly.
I don't understand what Myles Garrett was thinking in doing the interview and saying it again. You just move on. What you did was inexcusable, so stop trying to excuse it. Stop trying to justify it.
That's what he's doing. He's just trying to save face.
I understand, but just stop. Because you're not helping yourself, and now you've made it worse. Now you've opened yourself up to legal liability. When the story was done, it was over. Myles Garrett's back. Nobody's going to bring it up again. Mason Rudolph had let it go because this was a big deal at the time. You don't get accused of being a racist and just let it go. But Mason Rudolph did. Just, all right. Cooler heads have prevailed. Well, cooler heads have now not prevailed. I can't get that. I can't understand it. It does. Mason Rudolph is a quarterback, and it brings me to what I found the biggest problem with the XFL thus far. The quarterback play is just so bad. And you could have expected it because of how bad quarterback play has been in the NFL beyond the top-tier starters over the last few years. But it makes it you see the rest of the team executing, and then the quarterback can't throw a simple pass. It's just been bad. There's still not been a quarterback with a 300-yard passing performance in the XFL yet this year. And they have thrown as many interceptions as touchdowns, the quarterbacks as a group.
Yeah, that's not great. Because in a league like this, people don't really just want to see really good defense.
They want to see points.
If the goal for this is to serve as a, you know, because how many times did they hawk all the viewers they had in the first week? You know, week one, it's averaged 3 million viewers per game over the four games over the first 2 weeks. I don't know what they were this past weekend. I'm sure it's a little less.
Haven't released the full national numbers yet.
But we'll see. But if they're making it about butts in the seats and the product that's on the field by getting viewership, then even the NFL doesn't want defensive battles.
No.
Even the NFL wants high-scoring affairs. I love some of the different rule changes. And to your point, if there was better quarterback play, then who knows? I mean, they could make significant progress in getting people to continue to watch this, but no one's watching sloppy quarterback good defense.
And I was talking to somebody about this over the weekend. You know, well, why isn't this in the summer? Well, it can't, because these guys aren't going to give up on NFL dreams
to play in a different league. The goal is to show the NFL during a season in which during an off season that there may be other routes for them to go to fill those last few spots on their rookie roster for rookie minicamp. Or new player mini camp, they may be able to go this route. And I mean, they could identify practice squad players. If you haven't maxed out your practice squad time, they could go find guys that still love football and are better than they were when they left, and they've taken care of their bodies. I mean, there's going to be examples of guys that get another chance in the league.
There were guys from the AAF last year that made the NFL.
So that part of it's going to happen. I think there's a lot of benefit from the NFL to have this league, but the XFL, if they're trying to generate revenue, then they need viewers, because in order to sell sponsorships to put logos on helmets and have the Bud Light Extra, you know, seltzer locker room post game, to have these different sponsored elements that they have. I mean, it's on a larger scale. It's what we do. I mean, you can't charge.
Can't charge
advertisers if no one's listening, right? I mean, you got to have a lot of people watching your sport if you're the XFL in order to go sell these sponsorships to make it lucrative. To me, it's less about butts in the seats. It's more about the television viewership and the ability for them to sell ads in a football market to a football-driven watching base of people in an off-season. It's a chance at a much lower price than they're used to paying for major college or NFL stuff, I'm sure. They need people to keep watching.
Here's the problem. They have slanted the rules to favor the offense to get high-scoring games. Here are some of the quarterback performances this past weekend. Cardale Jones had the best quarterback performance. 276 yards, 2 touchdowns. Matt McGloin for New York was 8 of 19 for 44 yards.
Ew.
Brandon Silvers of the Seattle Dragons, 7 of 18, 91 yards.
Ew.
The two quarterbacks for the Tampa Bay Vipers, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. That's not going to sell tickets. That's not going to put butts in seats. People are excited because it's football. It's something new in St. Louis. They don't have other professional football anymore. But you're going to have to get something out of the quarterbacks or people aren't going to watch the rest of the league.
I would agree with that.
That's a huge problem. They do have one good rule that Andy Staples mentioned should be implemented across football. We'll tell you what that is on the other side because I think I agree with him. It's next. It's the Eric Haines Show, FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to the Eric Haines Show on the Sports Animal. Brian Rice, myself, EA, here for another 20 minutes or so until Sports 180 comes at you.
All right, the XFL has done one good thing. Andy Staples mentioned this in The Athletic, and I think he's right. The kickoff.
Oh, it's awesome.
The two teams line up 5 yards apart.
One on the 30, one on the 35-yard line of the receiving team's side of the football. Mm-hmm.
Kickoff is from the normal spot and is typically received at about the normal spot. The traditional kickoff has been the biggest cause of head injuries in football over the last 10 years.
With a running start, yeah. I mean,
because there is a high impact collision, not even necessarily on the returner, but between the tacklers and the blockers. Because one player is sprinting 20 yards, one player is sprinting 40 yards, and then they run into each other. Well, their kickoff eliminates all of that.
I just think it's cool because you're actually getting more returns. You know, like they move the kickoff and they change this and they change that. What the XFL has done is remove the high impact injuries that are happening during special teams kickoff return, and they're delivering a product that encourages more returns as a part of the game. I mean, kickoff returns, scoring on a kickoff return or changing field position has impacted every football fan's football viewing life at some point in time. So if you can make it safer and encourage more returns, I love it. And watching it happen too, it looks pretty cool. The kickoff team, the tackling team can't move until the ball carrier catches the ball. As soon as he catches it, it's on. And you're fighting a one-on-one block, and then there's different strategy that'll come involved with it, but it's really, really cool. I like it. I agree. I think it's a huge part of the game.
No one can move until the ball has either been caught by the returner or has been on the ground for 3 seconds. This way, the blockers still engage the tacklers and can still open up a hole that can spring a return for a touchdown. But no one is colliding with a 30 or 40-yard head of steam. Here's the other piece to it, though, because there is another piece. They encourage returns because now touchbacks go out to the 35. If you try to squib it and the ball doesn't reach the 20, the receiving team gets the ball in the 45, just like if you'd kicked it out of bounds. It's kind of like in tennis. You have to serve to a certain spot, which encourages returns.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it, man.
Teams can still onside kick, but have to declare their intentions in advance. The XFL rulemakers said this to The Athletic, quote, "I feel like we're writing the tax code." This is Oliver Luck, the commissioner. "You can encourage certain behaviors by penalizing other certain things."
He's not wrong.
When the players first started practicing, they weren't sure. Guardians receiver Austin Duke said his first thought was that it was, quote, goofy. But Duke, who played at Charlotte before spending time as a Panthers practice squad player, said this, quote, "When we started repping it, once the ball is in the air and the receiver's catching it, it's normal football. They're on to something here."
I think the players like it. I think viewers like it. And if your players like it and viewers like it, and there's less injuries happening and more returns happening, then every football coach and administrator should like it as well. I would love seeing this in college and pro football. I would love it.
We don't typically like things that are complicated to explain. This is one of them. The scoring system that the NBA used last night in the All-Star game, it's been that system's been out there for a while, and I think one of the summer leagues used it a couple of years ago. But it's complicated to explain. But when you see how it actually works, I mean, the end of the NBA All-Star game last night was fascinating. Good defense. Guys trying to score. The strategy of, do we shoot a three here and try to end the game? Or do we try to score two? And then you only need 1 point next time down. But it's complicated to explain, so people don't naturally gravitate to it. But this they have something. And when you're trying to come up with a system as to whether the kickoff's still going to exist, this is a lot better than a bunch of touchbacks. And it's a whole lot better than just eliminating it altogether and saying, well, we're going to give you the ball at the 25. Good luck.
Well, I think it makes the game more interesting. I think everyone would agree that watching football games, if there weren't as many kickoffs going as touchbacks, everyone would like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better football when you have to do the return.
You want to see Cordell Patterson return kicks. You don't want to see him stand there in the end zone and watch the ball sail over his head over and over again. When Devin Hester was at the top of his game, you didn't want to see Devin Hester standing in the end zone, not even putting his hands on the ball. It's exciting, and if you can make it exciting without the catastrophic injury potential, then you do it. The XFL's done it, and I think this is something I agree with Andy Staples. This is something the NFL needs to look at. This is something that college football really needs to look at.
And I think they will. I mean, that's one of the main benefits of all this is you get to trial and error with football. We all love football so much. The XFL is going to provide a platform with really good athletes comparable to college and pro football to where you can see what it'll actually look like. You can see if it actually will. And then you get the numbers. You look at all the, you know, all the kickoffs and kickoff returns and all the injuries that were sustained on those. And then you look at that percentage of injury. And then you go to like a full season in the NFL and you look at it and you go, holy cow. College football. Oh, my gosh. This also would, you know, like you often see on punt and punt return, a lot of the best offense and defensive players staying out there. But on kickoff and kickoff return, you don't always see that. And the reason is because of the dynamic of running full speed and colliding with people. They don't want that. So I think it's really, really cool they're doing this because it makes it more realistic to have your best athletes on the field during kickoff and kickoff return. You don't have to worry about them running full speed into somebody else and getting hurt. Anything that gets more your best athletes, your best players on the field more often, I'm for.
Yeah.
So, no, I agree, dude. I think that's cool. Of all the things the XFL has done, I would agree through 2 weeks, bad quarterback play and some good rule changes are the two most, they're the reasons that you watch and then maybe a reason you don't watch. Quarterback play needs to get better.
We'll come back, find out what we learned today. Check in with Sports 180 next on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.
All right, Brian, it's time for us to find out what we learned today on the Eric Ainge Show. Thanks to Regenerative Complete, regencomplete.com. Check it out. You can get free testosterone tests. Men, get in there. Check it out. It's made a huge difference for a lot of people. Women, they do hormone replacement therapy for women as well. We talked about all the stem cell stuff and cool orthopedic, innovative orthopedic things they're doing. Go get a second opinion from Dr. Robbins and see if maybe there's a different injection or a different type of surgery or procedure or something that could help you with your knee, shoulder, anything. If you're in pain and you're looking to do something about it, they've got some really cool systems going over there right now. And if you're in the market for it, the ED special they have, apparently it works wonders, not just on ED, but on other injuries and other stuff, bringing the blood back to the tissue area that's not working properly or hurting, whatever it is. But you can get that. They have 6 treatments for that you can get for $1,250, which is like half the price of anywhere else in town. They want to make these things they have accessible to people. You know, a lot of the stuff is expensive, and they want to make sure that anyone can have access to it. Brian, what'd you learn today?
I learned that Tennessee baseball scored its most runs in a weekend since 2005.
That's big time. I learned that tonight on ABC on The Bachelor, the Smoky Mountain Axe House is going to be featured during Hannah Ann's one-on-one. And Brian Rice, we'll see if you made the cut.
I'll be in the background.
You'll be in the background. You were there throwing axes. And that's really cool. The Axe House is having a benefit for it. They're having a VIP viewing party. It's $75. It comes with like a t-shirt, food, unlimited axe throwing. They're going to have The Bachelor on.
It's going to be great.
It's really cool. It's tonight.
It's going to be very reminiscent of what we were doing when we were there, because we were there for several hours with food and unlimited axe throwing.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's great. It's awesome. You're going to get, and again, you get a t-shirt, unlimited axe throwing, all that stuff. Go to smaxes.com or go to, you know, follow them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, send them a message and get it set. So that's going to be fun. Up. I learned that. I learned that Rob Manfred hates baseball.
Well, it sucks that he's in charge of it.
Yeah.
You know,
but everything he does indicates that he just hates it.
Caller Chris brought up a good point that, like, if they drop the hammer, then everybody is going to start airing dirty laundry. And unfortunately for baseball, it kind of looks like there might be a lot of that. But I just, the integrity of the game has to be important to people, and it has to matter. And this is the dirtiest cheating scandal I've ever seen, personally.
I learned this as Josh Ward joins us coming up on Sports 180. Someone did 32 complete simulations of the 2020 football season in Madden, one each putting Tom Brady on each of the 32 NFL teams. Now, it's not the full projected rosters for next year, but...
And it's a video game.
How many... but Madden simulations have been very accurate in the past. How many teams do you think Tom Brady won the Super Bowl with in these Madden simulations?
None.
Josh?
Yeah, I don't have any idea. I want to say that he won one. So, three.
Joel says five.
What's his Madden rating? Do we know that?
I don't.
Okay.
He won a Super Bowl with one team.
That was right.
In fact, he missed the playoffs with 66% of the teams.
Okay.
I don't think that's wrong.
Drop Tom Brady on the Dolphins, and they still went 1-15.
Oh, they'd do better than 1-15.
They would do better than 1-15. Yeah.
They did a lot better than that with the Rosen Fitzpatrick combo.
Teams that missed the playoffs with Tom Brady at quarterback.
Okay.
The New England Patriots.
Hold on. Well, you said with him.
Yes.
The Patriots missed the playoffs
for next year.
Okay.
According to the simulation, they were 9-7.
They still play in the AFC East.
They were 9-7 in the AFC East and did not win it.
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers.
What?
That's terrible.
The New Orleans Saints.
Stop it here. This is outrageous. Who did they make the playoffs with?
The Packers, the Chiefs, and the Ravens all did not make the playoffs with Tom Brady as their quarterback in place of their current quarterback.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's incorrect.
It's the computer simulation.
But
I'm telling you, it's wrong.
Who did he make the playoffs with?
The Dallas Cowboys. He went 10-6, first round exit in the playoffs.
Okay.
He also made the playoffs with the Bills, already a playoff team.
He made it with the Bills, but not Patriots.
Not the Patriots. That's ridiculous.
The Buccaneers. The Jets.
Both of the other teams in the AFC East. Come on. Give me a break.
So Gase got it done with him, but not Bill Belichick.
The Lions.
Well,
with Matt Patricia. The Rams and the Steelers. He earned the number one overall seed with the LA Chargers, which is...
a team that's actually been connected to him.
But they lost in the divisional round like the Chargers always do.
Yeah. Bottom line, Brady's going to come back, and he's going to play for the Patriots next year, and they're going to make the playoffs again, and they'll get beat again because they're going to end up being the third or fourth best team in the AFC.
Is the Patriots, is that your new name for the Las Vegas Raiders? Are you calling them Patriots now? Is that what you're
doing? That'd be fun. I'd love him to go play for the...
60 mil, baby.
He made the NFC Championship game with two teams. Was 13-3 with the Bears and made the NFC Championship game with Washington.
Yeah, all right, so he succeeded with the Bucks, the Redskins, the Bills, the Jets, but not the Patriots, the Saints.
Yeah. That thing is stupid.
He did win the Super Bowl with one team, the Philadelphia Eagles.
So, I mean,
some of those things I could see happening, and they have everything. The Patriots, honestly, offensively, that was their problem last year, and it's because they didn't have Gronk. If they could get a big number one receiver and a tight end that can play on all three downs, they'd be fine like they always are. Edelman would be schooling guys like he always has.
Sometimes it's in the game, sometimes it's not. What's coming up on Sports 180 after Rick Barnes?
Yeah, we'll continue to break that down. We will hear from Rick Barnes in just a few minutes. Tennessee hoops, the Astros, everybody seems to be fine with how things have gone there, and more coming up on Sports 180.
All right, we'll be listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
EA, we'll see you tomorrow.
Rick Barnes. Man, I love Rick Barnes.
Thanks, Joel. Rick Barnes is next. This is the Sports Animal.